You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
It's the superhero of travel. It's Ricky Tyers from It's Your Time to Travel, ready to take you around the world by air, land, or sea, even by flying saucer. And we're live on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio the way it should be heard.
You're listening to It's Your Time to Travel on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio the way it should be heard. Subscribe to our TalkTainment Radio YouTube channel. Podcast is available. Visit www.TalkTainmentRadio.com. And you can join the conversation at 614-401-8339. Topic for today's show is Grand Bahama Islands continue to rebound. We have a special call-in guest, Carmel Churchill. She's a tourism consultant for Grand Bahama Island, and she is also an author. Just to give you a little background, on September the 4th, 2019, Hurricane Duran struck Freeport on Grand Bahama Island in the Bahamas, leaving an estimated 3/4 of the home on Grand Bahama Island either destroyed or under the storm, or underwater after the storm. So that's the subject we will cover in the second half of today's show. It's about how the Grand Bahama Islands is rebounding from the terrible hurricane in 2019. So, did you know the United States Department is not currently issuing new passports? Travelers hoping to get a passport will have to wait for an indefinite amount of time, as the U.S. State Department has stopped issuing new passports except for travelers who need a passport because of a qualified life or death emergency. And this was last updated on April the 3rd. And this is from the State Department's website. Because of public health measures to prevent the spread of COVID-19, effective March 20th, 2020, the State Department is only able to offer in-person service at passport agencies or centers for customers with a qualified life or death emergency and who need a passport for immediate international travel within 72 hours. According to the State Department, life or death emergencies are serious illnesses, injuries, or deaths in your immediate family, parent, child, spouse, sibling, aunt, uncle, etc., that require you to travel outside the United States within 72 hours or 3 days. The State Department requires travelers needing to apply for a passport for this situation to provide a passport application with supporting documents, proof of the life or death emergency, such as a death certificate, a statement from a mortuary, or a signed letter from a hospital or medical professional. Documents must be in English or translated in English. Proof of international travel, reservation, ticket, itinerary specific to the emergency. Expedited passport service was suspended on March 19th. Travelers can renew passports through the mail, but will likely be met with significant delays. And I just have a note, U.S. passports expire every 10 years. And starting in 2007, new requirements for U.S. citizens traveling to Mexico and Canada caused a big spike in passport applications, and the Department of State had a large backlog of documents to process. The documents that caused the 2007 crisis are set to expire in the next 2 years, and combined with the increase in U.S. citizens with passports, which is 125 million, or even bigger crisis is predicted in 2017. So to get ahead of the rush, the Department of State is recommending that citizens apply for a new passport, or citizens who have a passport that is set to expire in 6 months or less, send in their applications as soon as possible to avoid the rush that's going to happen in 2017. That's my did you know. So this just in. Blocked middle seat on airplanes reduces risk of COVID-19. A study by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention points to a reduced risk of COVID-19 exposure when middle seats are blocked on aircraft. The research, which was compiled in cooperation with Kansas State University, found a 23-57% reduction in exposure to viable viruses particles. Physical distancing of airplane passengers, including those policies such as middle seat vacancies, could provide additional reductions in risk for exposure to the SARS-CoV-2 on aircraft. The research has come a little late, as airlines have abandoned blocking seats as passenger traffic gradually ticks up. Only Delta Airlines still blocks the middle seat, but will end that policy at the end of April. And just to continue with this just in, Florida, Texas, and Georgia governors, they all banned vaccine passports. The governors of the states of Florida and Texas have banned businesses and government agencies from requiring citizens to show a vaccine passport to utilize their services. Texas Governor Greg Abbott last week issued an executive order prohibiting state agencies or political subdivisions, as well as businesses that receive public funds from the state, from demanding to see proof of vaccinations. And then Florida's governor issued his own proclamation that barred businesses from asking to show proof of vaccination. Government agencies in the state are also banned from issuing any documents that would be used to make a vaccine passport. Their decisions come in the wake of New York's new requirement that asks for vaccine passports in order to enter certain venues, such as the New York City's iconic Madison Square Garden. And the Biden administration has said it will not require vaccine passports from businesses. It is unknown how the decision in Texas and Florida will affect airlines if U.S. carriers decide to follow the suggestions of the International Air Transport Association to use a travel passport. Several international airlines have already begun rolling out such passports. And what makes all this crazy is the next section here. The CRUISE Act pushes CDC to allow restart of U.S. cruising. Lawmakers are ramping up pressure on the CDC to approve a restart to big ship cruise operations. All the cruise lines, no matter where they sail from, are going to ask that all passengers be vaccinated over the age of 16 and over. And this new CRUISE Act that lawmakers are putting pressure on the CDC to approve. GOP senators tabled the careful resumption under improved safety enhancement, and it's called the CRUSE Act, which calls on the CDC to revoke the CRUSE ban by July 4th and issue a recommendation for a return to safe cruising. The proposal was sponsored by Florida's Senators Rick Scott and Marco Rubio. Florida is a tourism state with thousands of jobs relying on the success of our ports, cruise lines, and maritime industries. And this is coming from Rick Scott. While many sectors of the economy have been safely operating for months under CDC guidelines, Floridians and those across the nation that rely on the cruise industry for work continue to wait for updated guidance from the CDC. The governor from Florida recently announced the state will file a lawsuit against the Biden administration demanding that cruise ships are able to operate again from Florida ports without delay. The U.S. cruise industry has been shut down since March 2020. Additional note is Alaska is considering suing the government so that they can open up their ports to cruises. But here's the amazing thing with Florida is you're banning vaccine passports, but all the cruise lines request to sail, you need a vaccine passport. So that's kind of crazy to me. I don't understand it. But that's what's going on with all the news today. You're listening to It's Your Time to Travel on TalkSavingRadio.com. Radio the way it should be heard. Stay tuned for Grand Bahama Island continues to rebound with special call-in guest Carmen Churchill. She's a tourism consultant from the Grand Bahama Islands, and she's also an author. So it should be pretty exciting to hear all the exciting things going on with the Grand Bahamas. But in the section travel with an expert, I have a couple things to talk about. The first one is the psychological effects of traveling while vaccinated. This is a story of a vaccinated passenger who has traveled over the period of the pandemic and what it feels like to travel now that he's vaccinated. So after months of feeling powerless against the COVID-19 pandemic, the promise of vaccination seems like a shiny beacon of hope. If we could all get the shot, life will be back to normal, and those of us who work in the travel industry, as well as those who simply miss traveling, will be back to the good old days of carefree globetrotting. Over the past couple months, this person had visions of dancing down the airport concourse, jetting to previously off-limit overseas destinations, and most importantly, reuniting with their extended family in Los Angeles. Over the course of this person's 2-week research, they have been journeying across central Mexico. And they quickly realized that when it comes to traveling, the main benefits of the vaccine, in addition to the obvious medical advantage of being less likely to get sick, were more physiological than practical. And their mindset shifted a bit once they became vaccinated. He said he smiled more, he felt slightly more comfortable and a bit more confident. He even hugged a couple of friends who also had been vaccinated. He was willing to eat indoors, ride public transportation. He said he even felt secure taking 3 long-distance buses in Mexico whereas in the previous months, he wouldn't have dared to consider an hours-long bus trip. Regardless of the destination, that would have been way too much time with too many people in a small enclosed space. Buses don't have the high-tech air systems that commercial airliners do. But now he felt just a tiny bit freer. And again, we're talking about the psychological effects of traveling while vaccinated. Still in the terms of protocol and logistics, his travel experience wasn't all that different from a pre-vaccine days. He still wore a mask in public. He still didn't want to shake anyone's hand or hug random people. He still washed his hands frequently, used sanitizer whenever he could, and avoided crowds at all costs. He thoroughly wiped his seating area on planes and buses and all the high-touch areas in the hotels. Airbnb apartments is where he stayed, and he still had to take the COVID-19 test before returning to the United States and showing a negative test results in order to board the flight home. In short, regardless of whether you've gotten the vaccine or not, we must all still follow the same norms to protect ourselves and others. That makes sense. And after all, we're still in the midst of a major pandemic. And no vaccine is foolproof. The Johnson & Johnson injection, for example, is about 85% effective at preventing severe disease and about 72% effective when factoring mild and moderate disease, according to the U.S. study. Plus, new strands may pose new threats, and there are questions about whether vaccinated people may still be able to transmit the virus. So just to back up a little bit, in most places they have pulled the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, and they pulled it from the shelves, and they stopped using it because of blood clotting in people. And so we're still waiting to see the results of that, because they're finding that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is causing blood clotting. And this person says, and I agree with him, as for visiting our West Coast family, well, that's not still happening. One family member is in a high risk group and hasn't been vaccinated yet, while another relative is so overly cautious that even an open-air, socially distanced gathering wouldn't be acceptable. That's my family on the West Coast. That's totally my family on the West Coast. Indeed, there are still a lot of issues holding travelers back, even as more people receive the vaccine. This person says he's been traveling every month for work since last summer and has never tested positive, whether that's because of the precautions that he's taken or luck of the draw. He continues to play it safe and follow all protocols, even as he ventures further out into the world to report on evolving realities of the pandemic era and what changes may await in the post-pandemic world. The vaccine is crucial for the reactivation of travel and tourism industries, but the recovery will take some time compared to the outlook just a few months ago. However, that's still something to celebrate. So he will continue to smile as he travels, even as he reaches for the antibacterial wipes. So that is a story of the psychological effects of traveling while vaccinated. And it's the story of a vaccinated passenger traveling through Mexico and how much just having the shot made him feel so much better about traveling. But earlier we talked about how Florida and Texas, their governors have banned vaccine passports. And also the Georgia governor has banned vaccine passports. As a matter of fact, the Georgia governor has opened up Georgia. It's no longer requesting that you wear a mask. It's no longer requesting that you follow any of the protocols. Georgia has totally opened back up again. And we're waiting to see what the results of that is going to be in Georgia. So the question is, do we need vaccine passports? So the World Health Organization, WHO, does not currently support the use of vaccine passports for travel because of concerns of equity. The WHO supports vaccine certificates as a way to provide a health record for people who have been vaccinated, but the issue takes on a different consideration if certificates are used to attend work, school, or to travel. The World Health Organization also noted that there are still lingering questions about whether vaccines can prevent the coronavirus from being transmitted. The U.S. government does not plan to mandate vaccine passports. The White House said on Tuesday that the Biden administration would not support a system requiring Americans to carry a so-called COVID-19 vaccine passport. The government is not now nor will be supporting a system that requires Americans to carry a credential. There would be no federal vaccination database and no federal mandate requiring everyone to attain a single vaccination credential. Americans' privacy and rights should be protected, and so that these systems are not used against people unfairly. President Biden's chief medical advisor, Dr. Fauci, this week also said that the government will not mandate vaccine passports for travelers or businesses after the pandemic is over. But in the state of New York launches a digital vaccination passport. So meanwhile, New York became the first state to roll out a digital vaccine passport when it recently launched the so-called Accessular Pass. Still, some private businesses and organizations may look at developing ways to confirm that someone is vaccinated, noting that businesses or schools may require them to enter their building. And Dr. Fauci also states that some private businesses and organizations may look at developing ways to confirm that someone is vaccinated. Businesses or schools may require them to be vaccinated to enter their building. So we're saying all that to say this, that the federal government is not going to request a vaccine passport. But businesses, private industries, cruise lines may require a vaccine passport. So the state of New York has issued, the state of New York is testing a vaccine passport app. So It's Your Time to Travel states that cruise lines will require you to be vaccinated. Hawaii is looking at testing a vaccination passport. So because the government is not requiring it, states and businesses may still require it. The CDC has issued new requirements for people who are vaccinated. You can visit with other fully vaccinated people indoors without wearing a mask or staying 6 feet apart. You can visit with unvaccinated people from one other household indoors without wearing a mask or staying 6 feet apart if everyone in the other household is at low risk for severe disease. Refrain from quarantine and testing if they do not have a symptom of COVID-19 after contacts with someone who has COVID-19. A person is fully vaccinated 2 weeks after receiving the last required dose of vaccine. Although vaccinations are accelerating, CDC estimates, and I think this figure is very low, that just 9.2% of the U.S. population has been fully vaccinated with the COVID-19 vaccine that the FDA has authorized for emergency use. On the way to the radio show, I was listening to the Senate, and they recommend, or they talk about, that 90% of the population needs to be vaccinated to make this vaccine, to make this virus go away. While the new guidance is a positive step, the vast majority of people need to be fully vaccinated before COVID-19 precautions can be lifted broadly. Until then, it's important that everyone continues to adhere to the public health mitigation measures to protect the large number of people who remain unvaccinated. The CDC recommends that fully vaccinated people continue to take the COVID-19 precautions when in public, when visiting with unvaccinated people from multiple other households, and when around unvaccinated people who are at high risk of getting severely ill from the COVID-19. They suggest you wear a well-fitted mask, you stay at least 6 feet from people who you do not live with, avoid medium and large size in-person gathering, get tested if experiencing COVID-19, follow guidance issued by individual employers, follow CDC and health department travel requirements and recommendations. And the CDC has released resources to help people make informed decisions when they are fully vaccinated. Now, they've also released updated information for travelers that are fully vaccinated. Fully vaccinated travelers are less likely to get and spread COVID-19. People who are fully vaccinated with the FDA-authorized vaccine can travel safely within the United States. Fully vaccinated travelers do not need to get tested before or after travel unless their destination requires it. Fully vaccinated travelers do not need to self-quarantine. Fully vaccinated travelers should still follow CDC's recommendations for traveling safely, including, and it goes back to, wear a mask over your nose and mouth, stay 6 feet from others and avoid crowds. Wash your hands often or use hand sanitizers. You do not need to get tested or self-quarantine if you are fully vaccinated or have recovered from COVID-19 in the past 3 months. You should still follow all other travel recommendations. The CDC also has a list out for domestic travel recommendations for unvaccinated people. So if you are not fully vaccinated and must travel, take the following steps to protect yourself and others from the COVID-19. Before you travel, get tested with a viral test 1 to 3 days before your trip. And while you're traveling, wear a mask over your nose and mouth. Masks are required on planes, buses, trains, and other forms of transportation. Traveling into, within, or out of the United States in U.S. transportation hubs such as airports, stations, you must wear a mask. Avoid crowds and stay at least 6 feet, 2 meters, or about 2 arm lifts away from anyone who is not traveling with you. Wash your hands often or use your hand sanitizer with at least 60% alcohol. After travel, get tested with a viral test 3 to 5 days after travel and stay home and self-quarantine for 4 to 7 days after travel. And this is the recommendation for people that are not fully vaccinated, and this is from the CDC. After you travel, they suggest you get tested with a viral test 3 to 5 days after travel and stay home and self-quarantine for 4 to 7 days after travel. Even if you test negative, stay home and self-quarantine for 4 to 7 days. If your test is positive, isolate yourself to protect others from getting infected. If you don't get tested, stay home and self-quarantine for 10 days after travel. Avoid being around people who are at an increased risk for severe illness for 14 days, whether you get tested or not. Self-monitor for COVID-19 symptoms. Isolate and get tested if you think you're coming down with the COVID-19. And again, visit your state, territory, tribal health department's website to look for the latest information on where to get tested. Wow, that was a mouthful. But the CDC has guidelines for people that are vaccinated. They have guidelines for people who are not vaccinated. And if you go to www.cdc.gov, all that information is there. All that information is on their website. And the way that we get out of this pandemic is that everyone needs to be vaccinated. At least 90% of the population needs to be vaccinated. Pfizer is even developing a vaccine for kids for when they go back to school. Vaccine passport or not, everyone needs to be vaccinated so that we can get out of this pandemic. So I have an event coming up on April the 29th, and it simply says you're invited to a WUATA virtual party. This is presented by Carnival Cruise Line. You get a chance to win a free cruise. There's an exclusive offer for you to take a cruise. This event is coming up April 29th on Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. You have to be invited to be part of this virtual party. Every travel agent that's participating in this has sent out invitations to 2 people to attend. I still have space for one more person because the person that I sent it to has not responded. So if you're interested in this WUATA virtual cruise party presented by Carnival Cruise Line, certainly contact me. You can contact me on my Facebook page, It's Your Time to Travel. Send me your name and your email and let me know that you're interested, and I will get you hooked up for this event. This is an event that we've tried to put on before. But the pandemic struck and we had to cancel everything. So now we're doing it virtually, and it's with Carnival Cruise Line. So contact us and let us know that you're interesting. Listeners can join the conversation at 614-914-5001. Look up in the sky, it's the superhero of travel. It's Ricky Tyers from It's Your Time to Travel on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio the way it should be heard.
Hey, I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at SeizeTheAwkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at age 33, with not one day off since. But JDRF has my back, funding research toward a cure, prevention, and treatments that really help the millions like me to have a better life. The scientists funded by JDRF test themselves every day so that someday I won't have to. Join us. Your help is our hope. JDRF, improving lives, curing type 1 diabetes.
What kind of help does the IRS have for identity theft victims?
If you suspect you're a victim of tax-related identity theft, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn how to prevent potential refund fraud and protect your tax account. At the IRS, combating tax-related identity theft is a top priority, and we are committed to prevention, detection, and assisting victims. And we're working with law enforcement to catch the criminals. For more info, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn what the IRS is doing.
Carmel Churchill.
To accept, press 1. To send a voicemail, press 2.
It's our home, it's our dream.
To accept, press 1. To send a voicemail,
for life,
press 2.
That's healthy and clean. Make it green, green, green.
My mom said making it green is making sure the air in your home is healthy for your family to breathe. Make sure you test your home for radon. It's easy. Just call 866-730-GREEN. Make it green.
Everything you buy funds local job training and more. Goodwill, bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Our government doesn't seem to care that 9 million children have no health insurance, even though every dollar spent immunizing children against illness saves more than $16 in medical costs to make them better. Doesn't anyone see? We're wasting money and allowing children to get sick.
I am Susie Flynn. A vote for me is a vote for the 9 million uninsured children.
9 million uninsured children need a solution now. For more information, go to electsusie.com.
My name is Al Edmondson. I'm a business owner and community organizer. I want to encourage you to visit the King Lincoln District, our community. It's a great place to live, work, and worship. Catch a show at the...
Green, green, green. It's our home, it's our dream.
Carmel Churchill.
To accept, press 1. To send a voice.
Make sure the air in your home is healthy for your family to breathe. Make sure you test your home for radon. It's easy. Just call 866-730-GREEN. Make it green.
Hello?
Green, green.
A message from the US EPA. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Our government doesn't seem to care that 9 million children have no health insurance, even though every dollar spent immunizing children against illness saves more than $16 in medical costs to make them better. Doesn't anyone see? We're wasting money and allowing children to get sick.
I am Susie Flynn. A vote for me is a vote for the 9 million uninsured children.
9 million uninsured children need a solution now. For more information, go to electsusie.com.
My name is Al Edmondson. I'm a business owner and community organizer. I want to encourage you to visit the King Lincoln District, our community. It's a great place to live, work, and worship. Catch a show at the Lincoln Theater. Enjoy smooth jazz at the King Arts Complex. Enjoy great food and visit our historical churches and newly remodeled homes. Live, work, and worship the King Lincoln District.
All right. Okay. Listeners, look, up in the sky is a superhero of travel. It's Ricky Tyers from It's Your Time to Travel on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Carmel Churchill.
radio
to accept, press 1.
The way
to
it
send
should
a
be
voicemail.
Heard. So for today's show, we're talking about the Grand Bahama Islands continue to rebound. We have special calling guest, Carmen Churchill, tourism consultant for the Grand Bahama Islands, and she's also a published author. So, Carmel, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. So we finally got connected. Great. So just a little background. On September the 4th, 2019, hurricane struck Freeport on Grand Bahama Islands in the Bahamas, leaving an estimated 3/4 of their homes on Grand Bahama Island either destroyed or underwater after the storm. Is that correct?
Well, not entirely, but okay. We did have, I would say, about, you know, not necessarily the homes totally destroyed,
mm-hmm.
but we did have a significant number of homes underwater. And, you know, there has been efforts to restore, you know, some of those homes. And mainly, if anyone had traveled to Grand Bahama Island or into Freeport in the past, they would find that the areas that they would have frequented is pretty much intact. So pretty much a lot of what occurred during Hurricane Dorian on Grand Bahama Island occurred to the far east
okay.
of the island and more on the northern side of the island. So we were spared, okay? We were spared. What we did have was that about 67% of the island did, you know, have water.
Mm-hmm.
But that other portion of the island was pretty much untouched. And so we were grateful for that. I mean, but that in no way, mean to diminish the destruction that did take place, you know, because we did have persons who lost their lives, pretty much families. Several families were washed away. So, yeah, it was quite a tragic time for us. However, we are on the mend as a destination, and we're looking forward to days when we can all go back to work. And I think that's global. Everyone's looking to
right,
go back to work.
Right. Yeah. So tell us what's going on with the Grand Bahamas now. Well, but first of all, give us a location of how close Grand Bahama Island is to the U.S.
Okay. So if you take a look at the West Palm Beach, Miami, Fort Lauderdale area,
mm-hmm.
from West Palm Beach, Grand Bahama Island is about 55 miles. To the southwest of West Palm Beach. From Miami and Fort Lauderdale area, you're looking at about 60 miles, 65 miles thereabouts to Freeport.
So Grand Bahama Islands is actually the closest island to the U.S., correct?
That's correct. That's okay. correct. As a matter of fact, if you flew from West Palm Beach, your flight time is about 30 minutes. From, you know, Fort Lauderdale, you're looking at about 25 minutes. And from Miami, you're looking at about 35 minutes.
Hey, can you move away from the computer because we're getting a little feedback?
Okay, I will do that.
All right.
Okay.
So, what's the best towns to visit in the Grand Bahama? Well, first of all, the first thing I have to ask you is, the Jukuno Festival going to happen this year?
That's still something that's being discussed. At this particular time, I cannot say definitively
okay.
that it is going to take place.
Okay.
We at this particular time on the island, we do, well, throughout the islands of the Bahamas, we
mm-hmm.
are still under a curfew.
Okay.
We We do have curfew from 11 p.m. until 5 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
daily. And there is still no large gatherings. Maximum okay. size for gathering is about 25 people.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Okay. okay. okay. So, okay. yes.
Okay.
There
okay.
is social distancing everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
Mask wearing throughout the island and in public. However, the great thing is that once you're at the beach and you are maintaining social distancing, you don't have to wear a mask.
Great. Great. Okay, so as long as you maintain the social distancing on the beach, you don't need a mask.
No, but you should always have it with you.
Yep. Okay. Okay. So, what are the what are the islands that make up the Grand Bahamas?
So, Grand Bahama Island itself, that's one island.
That's one island.
The islands of the Bahamas.
Okay.
So, of course, the Bahamas as a whole, we have about 700 islands.
Okay.
16 of those islands are islands that's marketed for tourism.
Mm-hmm.
And those 16 islands are some of the populated islands. You would find that New Providence, which is Nassau and Paradise Island, where you will find the largest of our population center.
Mm-hmm.
The entire population of the Bahamas is about 400,000 people. And about half of the population, or more than half actually, lives on the island of Nassau. Grand Bahama Island is the second most populated island in the Bahamas. And you're talking about a population of about 50,000 people. And then the next most populated will be the island of Abaco with about 40,000. The remaining of the population is spread out between the other islands in the Bahamas.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So before the pandemic happened, Royal Caribbean was making a fuss about opening up a island in the Grand Bahamas. Do you know anything about that?
A little bit. So pretty much what is public information today,
okay.
Royal Caribbean is involved with a deal to purchase our largest hotel on this island, which is known as the Grand Lucayan Resort.
Mm-hmm.
And also, too, they are involved with a deal to redevelop our port where the cruise ships come in.
You're right.
Yeah. Yes, on the island.
Okay.
So those two deals, I mean, Royal Caribbean has come back to the table since the pandemic and have assured us that they're still committed to making those investments on the island. As a matter of fact, our tourism board had a meeting yesterday, and we did have a representative from Royal Caribbean attending that meeting, but he was attending that meeting specifically to talk about their home porting of their cruise ship, Adventures of the Seas, which will home port in Nassau, Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
And they will make sailings from Nassau into Coco Key. And they will also stop here on Grand Bahama Island. That should be starting on June 12th of this year.
Right.
So there is still some exciting things happening there with Royal Caribbean.
Well, that's great for the Grand Bahama Islands. They're stopping there. That should really help the island out.
It does, it mm-hmm. does, and that's the main thing. You know, we in the Bahamas, you have more than 50% of the people that work in the tourism industry,
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. for Grand Bahama Island, we still have a significant number of persons that have not gone back to work as yet. And it's more of a double whammy for us. We did not have people return to work since Hurricane Dorian
mm-hmm.
because of the destruction that took place to our airport. Our airport we do have a temporary airport that's open and operational. However, we do not have the capacity to accommodate the much larger aircraft that we have had in the past.
Okay.
And so that coupled with COVID-19, we've not been able to recover as we would have liked, particularly at the pace that we would have liked to as well. So pretty much everything has slowed down for us. And so gradually we are on a path to, slowly, but to grow our tourism at a sustainable rate.
And the capital of Grand Bahamas is the West End?
West End, yes. On Grand Bahama Island, we said West End is Grand Bahama's best end. And why do we say that? This is the place where we get all of our fresh seafood. And Grand Bahamians are known for taking that drive out of the city of Freeport and heading west on Sunday afternoons to enjoy some of that seafood. Certainly we can go any day of the week, but Sundays just happen to be that day where we take that drive. For us, it's a 30-minute drive, and so where you typically drive to everywhere on the island in about 10 to 12 minutes, taking a 30-minute drive is like a road trip for us.
Wow. Taking a cruise and stopping in Freeport,
mm-hmm.
and Freeport was like it was just a block long. I'm sure that.
Oh, it's time for you to come back.
Yeah.
That sounds like a long time ago.
Yeah.
But
I'm finding out that the West End is the area to go in.
Yeah, West End. West End is. So, let's put it this way. Freeport, of course, is the city center. Okay,
yes.
And this is where you would find your upscale hotels,
mm-hmm.
More of your finer restaurants, bars, that type of thing. And, of course, this is where the airport is located as well as the cruise ship harbor. When you leave the city of Freeport, you will drive through a settlement called 8 Mile Rock. 8 Mile Rock is one of the largest settlements in the Bahamas. And what do we call settlements? Settlements is a place where the original persons that were, that lived on the island, this is where they lived. And so they settled in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's one of the largest settlements in the Bahamas with, I would say, a little over 20,000 persons in it. However, this is where you would find, as we Bahamians say, you're true Bahamians. So you will drive into 8 Mile Rock, and then there's a number of townships that you will drive through on your way going to West End.
Okay.
And once you arrive in West End, you will be at the furthest end of the island. You actually come to the end of the island there.
Wow.
Yes.
That sounds exciting.
It is, particularly when you make stops along the way. So once you get outside the city of Freeport, one of the first townships you would come into in that 8 Mile Rock area will be Hepburn Town. And in Hepburn Town, there is, those families that will run restaurants and bars. And this is it's not fussy, it's rustic. They're typically cooking outside on a grill. So you're getting that real authentic Bahamian flavor. The delicacy on most occasions you will find will be conch. So you would have conch prepared in a variety of ways, conch fritters, conch salad, cracked conch.
Right.
And, of course, all of the other Bahamian fixings that goes along with it. And this journey you're taking, visiting these various settlements, we recommend that you drive along Bayshore Road. So as you're driving along Bayshore Road, you are actually looking at the Atlantic Ocean, which will be on the southern side of the island. So, you're having an amazing view on your way going to West End, and then also to you're getting to stop and interact with the locals.
Mm-hmm.
In those areas, which gives you a real cultural exchange. And so, you know, we're really proud of those communities. As a matter of fact, if you came here and as you drove through, you will come up on a small settlement called Seagrace, and that's where I grew up.
Okay.
I grew up in this settlement and my family lived there until I was the age of 15. And, you know, one of the things I remember most is that my father, who was a public service driver, used to bring visitors home, you know, on his tours. They would stop in at our home and visit with us. And so this was more of a people-to-people exchange.
Yeah.
Most visitors will come to know his family. And we've built those relationships for years. So we really like to have the opportunity to interact with our visitors beyond just that tourist experience where you come here, you go to restaurants and bars, you go out and you do the typical tourist activities, but you never really make a connection with the people in those destinations. We embrace making connections with visitors that come here.
So since you mentioned airports, there's a company that contacted me about doing a cruise from Florida to Grand Bahama Islands. And I forget the name of the company. I don't have it in front of me. But would that be a good way to visit the Grand Bahama Islands? It wasn't a cruise line, it was actually just something that transported people over to the Grand Bahama Islands.
Okay. So here is what we have, and we have two very interesting ways that you can get to Grand Bahama Island if you are not flying in.
Okay.
From Fort Lauderdale at Port Everglades, there is a fast ferry. It's called the Balearia Caribbean.
That's the company. Right.
So they operate a fast ferry. Their capacity of their vessel, which is called the Jamay 2, is about 600 people, 600 plus persons. And you can get on the ferry, and when they sail here on the direct sailing days to the island, that ride is about 2.5 hours.
Okay. My producer's telling me I have to wrap everything up because we're running out of time.
Okay, not a problem.
But it was great talking with you. I will get back with you so we can set something up on that people-to-people tour. And I'll contact you in the next few days. Okay?
Absolutely. Thank you. And good talking to you and your audience this evening.
All right. Thank you. That was Carmel Churchill. She's tourism consultant for Grand Bahama Island, and she's a published author. Look Up in the Sky is a superhero of travel. It's Ricky Tyus, and we're able to take you around the world by air, land, or sea, and even by flying saucer. And we're live on TalkTainmentRadio.com, radio the way it should be heard.